Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will go right to the phone lines. First up, Seth, listening in El Dorado, Kansas. Hi, Seth.
Hi, Hank. My question is, on the doctrine of eternal hell, is that something a church, do you think, should necessarily divide over if one segment believes that hell is more of a place for refinement, not necessarily an eternal, everlasting judgment, but an age of judgment that will take place in the future for sure? Not a denouncement of hell, but rather a age of refinement, more so. And would you say that's a foundational and doctrinal issue, or something we don't have all the answers to?
Well, I think we have a lot of answers to what hell is all about, and I suppose that it is a very dangerous thing to take what Jesus Christ has taught us about hell and then try to redefine it. Moreover, common sense dictates that without the hell described by Jesus Christ, there's no need for Jesus Christ in this world or the next. Little needs to be said about the absurdity of suggesting that the Creator would suffer more than the cumulative sufferings of all humanity if there's no hell to save us from, and without hell, there's no need for salvation. Without salvation, there's no need for sacrifice. Without sacrifice, there's no need for the Savior in the first place. So as much as we may wish to think all will be saved, common sense precludes the possibility. As far as redefining hell, however, we have to define hell the way the Bible defines it. And from the biblical text, we can rightly conclude that hell is everlasting destruction, in the same way that heaven is everlasting life. We can also, from the biblical text, deduce that hell is eternal torment. I didn't say torture, but it is eternal torment. For example, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus speaks of this place of torment, and he depicts it rather graphically. And then, I think it's very important to recognize that hell, biblically, is the erasure of the image of God in fallen humanity. So, while animals are among the greatest of God's creative achievements, only human beings are created in the image and likeness of God. And in hell, that image is not only effaced, but ultimately erased. And that is why hell is such a graphic reality and why we should warn people not to neglect how great a salvation that could be theirs. And once we take out the biblical teaching of hell, well, there's nothing to be saved from. There's no need for a Savior.
I'm at a point right now, recently, I've been having a lot of different conversations with different believers. And personally, I look at Scripture and I look at the verses that talk about fire and judgment and hell. And I like you said, there's no way you can denounce that it's in there. It's very plainly and clearly in there. But I find it hard to really take one side or the other at this point. And I don't mean to be heretical or anything. Actually, lately, my brother, for bringing up some questions about this stuff, has been referred to as heretical for, you know, he even asked the question and said, let God be true and all men liars. I'm not making any statements of what I believe on this, but I'm asking questions.
Sure.
Regarding eternal life. This is one of the things I guess I want to put forth is that, you know, it says through Adam, many were made sinners, and through Christ, many will be made righteous. And then the verse where it talks about how if through one man sin can be on all men, then how, you know, much greater through Christ that all can be made righteous. And like I said, we're not trying to denounce hell or anything, but we're just trying to figure out whether is it righteous for God to put a man in eternal torment for a temporary life of sin.
Well, you know, a couple of things. I have a book called Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, Near-Death Experiences, in which I counter all of these arguments. But let me say that you are absolutely right in suggesting that the flames of hell are metaphorical. There's ample precedent for that. For example, the words of James describe the human tongue as being set on fire by hell. The tongue, says James, is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Now, James obviously does not intend us to suppose that the tongue, which, of course, is itself a metaphor for human language, is literally fire and literally sets on fire the course of one's life. And nor are human tongues or languages literally set on fire by hell. What he's doing is he's using the language of fire as a metaphor for the destructive power of words. So he is also using the language of fire as a metaphor for the destructive nature of hell. So what you have here is a metaphor, but it's a metaphor that serves as a magnifying glass to illuminate the horror of hell. So yes, you don't have to take the flames literally, but you do have to say that the flames are pointing to a literal reality, and that is what it will be like to be separated from the love and grace of God for all eternity. And I don't think that there's any way that you can get out of this from the perspective of the teachings of Jesus Christ. And let me go through that. If Jesus Christ talks about eternal life, and if he talks about eternal punishment for the unrighteous, as he does in Matthew 25, then you have to take his testimony and say the duration of the destiny of the unrighteous is identical to the duration of the destiny of the righteous. Each is said to be eternal. So being shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power clearly underscores the reality of continued conscious existence. So I don't think we can embrace universalism on the one hand, because the Bible simply doesn't permit it, nor can we embrace annihilationism, because if you embrace that, God rubs out the crowning jewels of his creation, which is even a greater horror. And not only that, there are not degrees of annihilation, and the Bible teaches very clearly that there are degrees of punishment in hell. And therefore, we can safely say that the punishment of a Hitler is going to greatly exceed that of a garden variety pagan.
Well, I appreciate it very much, Hank, and I will look into that book. I appreciate your ministry, and I've been listening to you for quite a few years now.
Well, thank you for listening, and thank you for your call today. I deeply appreciate it.
Thanks, Hank.
God bless you. And again, the book is titled Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. Back to our phone callers. Next up is Mike in Branson, Missouri. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, how you doing, Hank?
Good, thank you.
I sure appreciate you taking my call and love your program.
Thank you.
I've been struggling with some anxiety and fears for about the last 10 years and took, you know, several different medications, you know, from different doctors trying to deal with it. And I'm down to the point right now thinking about hypnosis, trying to see if that would help any. But I don't want to do anything that's against, you know, the Bible or God's will. And the only thing I've come up through with the verse was like in Genesis, that the Lord caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam, you know, where he removed his rib and made woman.
Yeah, a couple of things I would say, Mike. Number one, perfect love casts out fear. And so I would partake of the means of grace that we have as believers. Oftentimes we suffer because we're not partaking of the means of grace that are offered to us within the purview of a biblical worldview. Now, having said that, I would also indicate that being brought into an altered state of consciousness intentionally. I mean, we can go into altered states of consciousness unintentionally. You can go into the zone when you're playing golf, or you can go into the zone while you're driving. 40 miles goes by and you don't realize it's passed. So you can do it unintentionally. But if someone's bringing you into an altered state of consciousness intentionally, you want to make sure the person that's doing that is highly reputable and has a biblical worldview, because this is a very dicey thing to mess around with. I'm not suggesting that it's always wrong, but if you are going to use that as an antidote to anxiety, I'd be very sure that you have someone that you can absolutely trust, because the altered state of consciousness and entering into it intentionally is a very real thing. A lot of people think this is hocus pocus. It's not. There's a lot of charlatans involved in it, and there's a lot of hocus pocus tangentially related to it, but it's a very real thing to be worked in an altered state of consciousness, and you want to make sure, again, that the person that's employing the trade is someone that lives within the context of a biblical worldview. Coming up to the station break, we'll be right back after the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And when I talk about resources, you can check them out on the web at equip.org. Be right back.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment.
If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandemensia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many. The gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI.
Make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Next up is Jim, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Jim.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. I've been a Christian for 54 years, and I have studied Scripture quite a bit according to my ability to absorb and understand. The other day, in speaking with a young man about God and so on, he pose the idea or the question, could God be an alien? Could he be an extraterrestrial? And I said, I had no scriptural perspective on that, but I said that it didn't, in my opinion, diminish our responsibility to deal with Jesus Christ crucified, raised from the dead, and the deity of God and the reality of the Holy Spirit. And I just needed a more mature person's perspective on that, and ergo, you're the man.
Well, here's the thing that I would say at the very beginning is you have to go back to basics, and the basics are these, that God, by definition, is the uncaused first cause who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. Yes. In other words, whatever is has been created, and it has been created by God. We can't say that nothing created everything, that's illogical, but we can say that God is the cause for the effect that we see, the universe and everything that is in the universe. So God is the uncaused first cause. Furthermore, the Bible makes clear that God is before all things. Speaking about Jesus Christ, who is, as you allude to, God in human flesh, Jesus Christ is said to be before all things, and in him all things hold together. So were there such a thing as extraterrestrials or aliens, they still would have been created by God. Although, I can say that there's no hard evidence for aliens or extraterrestrials at all. The Bible doesn't absolutely preclude the possibility, but there's no hard evidence for it, and nor do we see a hint of this notion in Scripture. So I think you realize that God couldn't be an extraterrestrial because he is the creator of all things. An extraterrestrial would be something that would have been created.
Okay, cool.
Make sense?
Indeed, sir. Thank you.
You got it, my friend. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Linda next, Seattle, Washington. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call and for your ministry. The content of your program is very thought-provoking. I've been listening for a while now.
Oh, wonderful.
I have a brother who is, he's angry at God and at most many other things and people. And he just really seems to be struggling with how to put this thing all together or his place in it all. And it's kind of scary in light of all the stuff that's going on in the world today. And I was just wondering, is there any way or maybe a publication of some sort that you know of that could affect his mind? He seems to not be able to make things balance.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't want to make this a purely academic exercise in terms of answering your question, but let me start with something, and that is to say that the evil in the world that people can be angry about and oftentimes blame God for is not caused by God.
I know that.
God creates the potential for evil by granting us freedom of choice, and through our choices we have actualized that evil. So the evil and the imbalances in the world that people get angry about are the result of our own sin. And The beauty of a biblical worldview is we can now say that's not how the story ends. Out of that, God brings about the best of all possibilities, a world in which we'll forever be able not to sin. And so we see the grace of God in preparing things in such a way that ultimate redemption can be effected at last. So if we embrace Jesus Christ, he can make sense of our lives. And we start to realize that even in the dark places, even the difficulties, God works all things for good to those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. So we can have a relationship with God. When we have that relationship, he even works those things that are dark and dreary in such a way that they ultimately affect good. I looked back at my own life for years and thought, wow, if only I had come to faith in Christ earlier, how much better I could be as an ambassador for Christ. Now I look back with a perspective of time and say, wow, I can see that God used those missing years, as it were, or those stolen years. He even used that, those years, to make me more effective in the present. So he even used those things which were thought of as victories by Satan as a way for the extension of his kingdom.
Okay. Except that he seems to be so frustrated, so, I don't know, he can't make sense of it all. He can't make sense of it all, and it makes him very angry, and it makes him go outward in blaming others, not really seeing his contribution to it all.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, ultimately, although there's no magic bullet, I mean, ultimately it's a change of heart, a change of mind, it's a change of the will. It's recognizing that I too am a wretched sinner. I'm causing the problem by my own actions every single day, and the only way to remedy that is to be found in Christ.
Right.
And that's what a biblical worldview is
asking.
All about. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was asking, if there is maybe something that he could read that you know of that.
You know, there's a book that I'm thinking about that was written by Johnny Erickson Tada. That's a book that I think could be very, very helpful. If you'd give this to him, if he'd read it, it would give him a whole new perspective. The title is When God Weeps. I think this would be like the perfect book for him. We want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to James in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, James.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Hey, listen, my question is, there seems to be a great need for a Christian experience in today's world. And personally, I believe in the continuation of the experiences that happened in biblical time. And so, for instance, you know, like the continuation of tongues, the continuation of healing, the continuation of signs and wonders. And so I was wondering, is there any justification for empirical substantiation of the sensation of these spiritual phenomena?
Well, I don't think you can say that the supernatural gifts ceased with the closing of the canon of Scripture, the end of the apostolic age, but I do think you can say they're not normative. Otherwise, we wouldn't call them miracles. And certainly the miracles that you see in the Bible attest to the work of the prophets and authenticate the prophets and the apostles, with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. So I don't think that you need the miracles to authenticate the Word. The Word is already authenticated. And this is the very thing, by the way, that Jesus points out in Luke chapter 16. Remember, the rich man wants to go back and warn his brothers that they do not come to a place like this. And the enigmatic response is, they have Moses and the prophets. If they don't believe that, they're not going to believe even if someone rises from the dead. So we already have everything that is necessary for faith and practice in the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, which is the Word of God.
Right, right. And a lot of people think they need these experiences to justify their Christian faith. And so my thing is that I believe that the Bible itself is enough substantiation for the Christian faith. But there's a lot of people in my circle who claim that they are experiencing these gifts, and which I have never seen them, but I was wondering, is there any empirical evidence senses to justify that these spiritual gifts have cessated.
Yeah, well, a couple of things. One thing, I'm pointing out that they haven't ceased. You know, I wouldn't want to put God in a box. I'm simply saying they're not normative. But there are a lot of people who claim to be super apostles and prophets around today, and they're claiming all kinds of miracles. But when you actually test this out, you find out that they don't stand up very well to scrutiny. I remember Benny Hinn telling me about his thousands of miracles. And at dinner one night, I asked him to give me his three best. Well, he didn't give me them that night, but eventually he did send them to me. And by the way, these were three he picked out, not three I picked out. I examined all three of them closely, and as I point out in a footnote in Christianity in Christ's 21st Century, all three of them were bogus. So here you have one of the modern-day apostles and prophets claiming the miraculous. When you actually test it, you don't find the miraculous. Same thing happened with the supernatural in the Pentecostal outpouring that happened in Pensacola, Florida. They were talking about all kinds of signs and wonders. They were talking about resurrections from the dead. When I checked them out, they had no names, no numbers. My goodness, if I had seen someone rise from the dead, not only some, but many, I'd know exactly who they were. But they didn't have any details whatsoever. So they were talking about it in generalistic terms, but never coming up with the goods. Where's the beef? Now, this, again, does not preclude the supernatural. It simply says that we don't have to make up stories to authenticate the power and the majesty and eventually the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Men broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.